Today, we're diving into a book. It's called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. Both Sherry and I have read it, and I found it highly applicable to entrepreneurship, starting companies. I also find it highly applicable to interacting with family and raising kids. It applies if you have just a 9-to-5 job. It applies all over life, but I think we're going to focus today on the couple aspects that relate most to you, the listener. And the book is written by a Stanford University psychologist named Carol Dweck, and she has done decades of research on achievement and success and has uncovered or come up with this idea of mindset and the power of mindset. And a quote from her is that for 20 years, my research has shown that the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. It can determine whether you become the person you want to be and whether you accomplish the things you value. And the crux of her theory, after all this research, is actually pretty simple. She's basically set up a dichotomy of mindset, that there are two types. There's fixed mindset and there's growth mindset. We're going to walk through those definitions here and then show you how it applies to starting a company. But the quote that I like from her, she says, "It's not just our abilities and our talents that bring us success, but whether we approach them with a fixed or a growth mindset." And that's why it's important here to discuss this, is that this is something that can be changed, right? That you can change your mindset through teaching and thinking and just being aware of it. That's why I think today's episode is actually quite valuable. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
So let's start in with the fixed mindset. The fixed mindset assumes that our character, our intelligence, our abilities are static. We either are or aren't. We're either talented or not talented. We're smart or not smart. And that those are fixed aspects about us that can't change in any meaningful way and that we really don't have a lot of control over. So our experiences in life affirm what is already fixed within us.
Under this fixed mindset, if you have success, it means that you are intelligent and you have abilities.
The downside of this is that this mindset assumes that we come kind of hardwired and that we have very little control over our own experiences in our lives or whether we can learn to change or achieve different things. And so if you're really operating from a fixed mindset, you are avoiding challenges because if you fail, it means that you are not intelligent or not smart. Failure takes on this bigger quality than the outcome of one event in your life. It takes on this sort of statement about who you are permanently as a person. Another downside of this fixed mindset is that you don't attack challenges if you can't already do them. There's not much framework for learning or for growing. There is only the abilities that I have right now in this moment. That's what matters. And so challenges that are a little bit outside of your ability level become very scary and uncomfortable and are something to be avoided.
And what that necessarily leads to is if you don't attack challenges, you have less learning. And less learning means that your development is hindered. So you don't continue to develop strong knowledge, stronger skills, strong abilities. Because you're so worried about failure, because it means you are not smart or talented, you don't put forth the effort to get better and improve your abilities and basically take a lifelong approach to learning and getting better. The other interesting side effect of this is if you have a fixed mindset, you believe inherently, even if you're not aware of this, you believe deep down that if you have to exert effort in order to accomplish something, it implies that you aren't smart or talented. Since you believe that everything is inherent and can't change, you believe that you need to have that intelligence or that talent from day one, and so that if you have to actually apply effort in order to improve, that you're not inherently intelligent.
And it just ups the stakes so much so that there's this urgency to prove yourself to other people. I have an experience from graduate school that really helped me understand fixed mindset. It was when I was working on a grant-funded research project that eventually became my dissertation project. But I was working in a team, so we were combining a variety of different dissertations and article ideas into one research project. And we were typing up this questionnaire that was going to go out to a couple thousand people. My job in the lab was to pull together the questions from these different measures and to put it all together. So it's pretty, you know, careful technical process. You really have to make sure that all of the questions are correct. And when I was putting it together, I made a mistake. I double copied a question and omitted a couple of questions that were really important. And it was proofread by people in my lab. We pilot tested it. Nobody caught the mistake. And when we submitted the project, or when we actually sent the survey around to people, because of this error, there was a whole piece of the data that we couldn't use because the scale was incorrect. And it was a big mistake, for sure. But my advisor was angry and upset, but she came down on me in such a way that basically said, "You're not good at this. You're not good at research. You're not detail-oriented enough for this." And I really took that to heart. And I decided, because of this one mistake, like, I'm not good at this whole aspect of my field. And so her feedback was from this very fixed mindset. Even though I was a graduate student, and even though this was my first really big project, there was no conversation about, you can grow from this, or you can learn to do this better. It was sort of the ultimate decision about my abilities as a researcher was, you made this mistake, and so clearly you're not good at this. And her feedback was from a very fixed mindset perspective, and it really stuck with me. And for a long time, I believed that to be true. You failed, or you made a mistake, and therefore you're not good at this. You're not capable at this particular part of your job. The fixed mindset is really a trap in the sense that smart people succeed. And if you don't succeed, it means you're not capable or not talented or not intelligent enough.
Right. And the ramifications of that are huge, because it means that you don't attack hard problems because you're scared you might fail. So that you're not going to attack big, bold things. You're not going to go out and try to do potentially another project like that. You know, maybe you get out of research altogether because, you just figure, well, I'm not good at this. Instead of realizing, boy, you know what the plus side of what happened is? You would never make that mistake again. You're actually better at it now than you were before that, because you would never let yourself make that mistake again.
Right. I had to work really hard to find that benefit.
Yep. Right. In my opinion, it was your advisor's job, just like it could be your boss's or your CEO's job, that when you make a mistake, that they allow you to learn from it, that they actually showed that to you. I mean, these are phrases I use all the time here at work. When we make a mistake, when one of us makes a mistake, I tend to say, look, this is everyone's fault. Like, one of us should have caught this, you know? And in my opinion, if you're a leader, having a growth mindset rather than this fixed mindset is a huge deal. You're going to retain better employees. You're going to get employees who are willing to grow, who are willing to make mistakes, who are willing to make bold choices, and helping them see that mistakes are things to be learned from and fixed in the future actually makes the whole team better, right? I mean, mistakes like that are expensive. They're expensive in terms of time and sometimes in money. So why not yield the benefit of that rather than trying to hide it or put blame on someone? That really doesn't do any good, right? Because it makes everybody kind of ashamed of it. And then it sets the precedent of that the culture is like, well, don't make mistakes or else you're going to be, you know, whatever it is, let go or disciplined or something to that effect.
I did leave research because it made me so anxious, because I was so upset or worried about making another mistake, because that was such an intolerable experience.
From what I hear, this is not uncommon in terms of STEM curriculum, like mathematics and science, that if someone isn't good at it right off the bat, that some teachers will tell them, oh, you're just not good at this, right? That's a very fixed mindset aspect. With that, I'd like to actually dive into the growth mindset to kind of show the other hand. A growth mindset, on the flip side of this coin, it thrives on challenges. It sees failures not as evidence of incompetence, but it sees it as an opportunity for growth and for basically stretching our existing abilities. And what's interesting is these mindsets impact all aspects of our lives. They impact how we think about ourselves, our self-esteem, how well we learn, how well we can run a business or hold a job, our relationships, professional and personal contact, and how we perform at sports. Like, all of this is wrapped around this growth versus fixed mindset. to dive a little deeper into this growth mindset, the growth mindset involves the belief that your basic qualities are a starting point and that you need to cultivate your skills and abilities throughout your life and forever be expanding. The idea that everyone can change and grow through effort and experience. And this, in essence, makes you put effort into learning and challenging yourself because it leads to learning and it expands your mind. And it's that exact opposite thought. Remember, fixed mindset was that effort means you aren't smart or talented. With a growth mindset, having to put forth effort shows that you're willing to embrace change and to actually learn from your life and expand your, you know, your abilities.
It makes you love challenges because that's how you get better. So your sweet spot from a growth mindset is you're always operating just a little bit outside of your ability level so that you are always on the edge of your learning. You're always exerting effort, always learning, and always challenging yourself to get better. There's sort of unlimited capacity to keep growing in this mindset. And the thrill comes when you have done something that's really hard and exerted a lot of effort, not as it would be from a fixed mindset perspective, when you just get the A because you're so smart, it was so easy. The real sort of feeling of satisfaction and success comes when you have worked really hard.
And I like this dichotomy. There's like a few phrases that Dr. Dweck uses in the book, and I'll paraphrase him here, but a fixed mindset hates challenges because they might fail, showing that they're unintelligent, whereas a growth mindset loves challenges because it's how you learn and get better. A fixed mindset gets a thrill from succeeding because it shows how smart or talented they are. A growth mindset gets a thrill when something is hard because to them, it's how you learn and it's how you get better. Fixed mindset believes that smart people always succeed, and growth mindset believes that success is when you work your hardest to achieve your best. And I think the lesson to take away from all of this, or the whole point of this book and this episode, is that the bottom line is growth mindset can be taught. It can be learned. You can change your thinking. So even if you find yourself resonating with more of the fixed mindset, as I think most of us do by nature, I think society and culture and how we're growing up, most people are probably leaning towards this fixed mindset. You can change that.
To go back to my fixed mindset graduate school advisor, thankfully, I had some other advisors and some other feedback who really helped me to see that even though I'd made this big mistake and wasn't maybe used to being as diligent as I needed to be for that level of a research project, they reinforced in me that those skills could be practiced. And it wasn't a no, you're not good at this, but it was a not yet. This is something that is an emerging competence that you're learning. And it did help me to learn that these mindsets are things that you can practice. They're things that you can shift within yourself and within the climate of your company if you are someone who is in leadership. It all comes back to the sense that a person's true potential is unknown and unknowable, that it's impossible to foresee what we can accomplish with years of passion and energy and effort. The whole strategy here is not a yes or no, but a not yet. This way of seeing the big picture of ability over a long period of time.
And so when thinking about how this applies directly to business or to being a founder, there's a number of dimensions where this works. And she addresses this specifically in a whole chapter, talks about the business side of things. One aspect of that that I liked is she essentially talks about this myth of genius, of this lone inventor, this lone genius coming up with a brilliant invention or a theory alone in their laboratory. And that is a very fixed mindset thing to want to believe that Edison, she uses an example, or Darwin or Mozart were these people that were just gifted from birth, and they sat in a lab and came up with something essentially overnight because they are genius, and that is essentially a fixed mindset. What actually happened, she walks through all these examples, is that Edison, Darwin specifically had dozens of people working with them and for them over decades to develop their theories. It's nothing like we've been taught to believe. It was lots of hard work. It was lots of failure. Edison had 30 assistants working on the light bulb. So we're never told that, you know? And Mozart had decades of education. Sure, he probably had a natural ear for something, but he didn't just, you know, spring out and write a symphony.
He was born in a musical family. So everyone in his family played music, and he started playing music as soon as he could hold an instrument. And so he had hours and hours and lots of people around him who were supporting his musical ability.
right? And so over time, you get better and better and better at that. It's this myth. It's the same thing as the myth of kind of starting a company. You know, you watch the movie The Social Network, and it talks about how Facebook was built, and it makes it look like Mark Zuckerberg kind of came up with the whole thing, and he had some people floating around, and then suddenly they were this huge thing. That same myth of Bill Gates with Microsoft or Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak with Apple. The realities of those stories, if you actually listen to the entire, you know, the real stories, are that it was years and years of trying things. And it was a decade or more of, you know, starting to code until they got to that point. Mark Zuckerberg, I think, had a programming tutor his parents got him when he was like 9 or 10. So he'd been coding for, 8 years by the time he did this. And he had built all these projects along the way. It was not just something that suddenly sprang out of, you know, the quote-unquote genius of Mark Zuckerberg. And so I think this myth of genius, or the myth of kind of the startup that just pops out of nowhere, is a symptom of more of a fixed mindset, and that people want to put these things in a box and just say, well, that only happens to those people. That could never happen to me.
It romanticizes the years and years of effort and work and time and teaching that went into the ultimate outcome of those people's abilities.
That's right. And that's why when I do interviews, I like to go back and talk about the project I launched in 2002, right? 13 years ago. The project I launched in 2004 that failed. The one in 2005 that had a little bit of traction. The three in 2006, 7, and 8 that had moderate traction. It's like trying to dispel this myth of overnight success.
And I think there's some businesses that are pretty famously terrible in their conceptualization of fixed mindset. Carol Dweck uses the example of Enron, who had this company climate of believing that people were naturally gifted at business. So they were looking for those gems of natural talent, and they praised innate talent. It created this climate where you didn't want anybody to know that you weren't perfectly naturally talented at business. And so no one would admit mistakes. No one would admit the limits of their ability. And so, of course, this fixed mindset had really serious implications for Enron's downfall.
And what that essentially leads to, that, you know, that Dr. Dweck talked about, is that it leads to these big egos, and you only keep people who have big egos, because if you actually have a growth mindset, you leave companies like that. So then your culture becomes, everybody wants to build their fiefdom. You want to be this genius with 1,000 helpers and be a big fish. So you don't want really smart people around who have growth mindset. And this happened at Enron. This happened, she said, with Lee Iacocca. She said it happened with AOL. In essence, she's saying that that's a pretty big cause of why these companies didn't have long-term success.
So what does it look like to have a growth mindset in business?
Well, so Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great, and Dr. Dweck references this. And she breaks it down. There's a bunch of components, but she focuses on the one where the type of leader who leads the company has a huge difference, and that the companies who succeed over decades tend to look failures in the face. They ask hard questions. They believe it highly in personal development. They invest a lot in their people, and they try to improve themselves and their employees constantly. So it's almost the textbook definition of a growth mindset. And, you know, if you haven't read Good to Great, it actually is a very interesting book. She just pulls one aspect out of it, but it really is the polar opposite of kind of this Enron, AOL, Lee Iacocca, you know, big ego building a fiefdom thing.
And it sounds like it would foster a company that's a great place to work, where there's a lot of teamwork. You're not competing to be the one superstar, but there's a sense in which you're all growing and all figuring out how to be the best coder or developer that you can be.
And it seems to me, she doesn't say this in the book, but it feels to me like a growth mindset has the opposite of a scarcity mentality, right? They have like an abundance mentality that we can all succeed. We can all be good. We can all grow and learn together. Whereas if you have a fixed mindset, you tend to want to hold on to things because everything feels scarce, and you're trying to like hoard your knowledge and hoard your abilities. And I just, in any culture I've been involved in like that, it just doesn't work very well.
So I think there's some significant implications for how this idea of mindset applies to founders. Obviously, the people who are starting companies are inherently facing risk and a lot of uncertainty. And so the ability to have a growth mindset about the possibility of failure seems really important. You can't be devastated by failure. You can't be afraid of risk. That there's a sense in which, okay, there are things that I can't control and things that I can't know, But I also can't fully know my own abilities when I am put to the test. And so believing in your ability to face new challenges, to dig down deep and grow your own training and intelligence, you know, to dig down deep and expand your own capacity to face these challenges, to learn new things, to learn difficult processes, that helps to support the success of the founder.
As a founder, you're going to make a ton of mistakes and you're going to be doing a bunch of stuff that you've never done before and that there's not a rule book or a guidebook on how to do it. So you're going to build the wrong product. You're going to waste a bunch of money on ads or on content or on hiring the wrong contractors or employees. You're going to choose the wrong business model. You're going to have a pricing plans that are wrong up front. You're going to have to adjust. And you have a choice. You can look at it as a learning experience or you can be paralyzed and believe that you are and always will be a failure because you get the wrong answer. I see a lot of people quit. I see a lot of people wanting to launch a business, to start a startup, and they get in and they find out that it's hard. And whether they say this out loud or not, I get the feeling that the script that runs, you know, in the back of their mind is, this is too hard. I just can't do it. That other person made this work. You know, the person that I heard on the podcast or the person that I see speak at MicroConf can do this, but I can't. And that's where this fixed mindset becomes a real problem as a founder. If you look at the founders that we see succeeding, they have incredible growth mindsets. They're always teaching themselves. They're always learning. And they're not afraid to fail.
They get a thrill from hard problems, from being able to address challenges that they have really not a good idea of how they're going to solve it. But to jump in there and believe that they can figure it out is inherently satisfying. And it keeps you from shying away from difficult tasks or hard decisions.
That's right. Just believing upfront that you are going to need to exert a massive amount of effort, even if you are intelligent and skilled in all these things, but that you're still going to have to bring your A game and work at it really hard. That is, again, part of the definition of growth mindset, is believing that exerting the effort is why you're doing this. The bottom line is that things change so quickly in this whole startup space with companies that if you're not constantly learning, you will not be able to maintain any success you happen to achieve.
Yeah, the internet doesn't really have a fixed mindset.
Indeed. Yeah, and the people building and growing the internet don't have fixed mindsets as a rule, I think.
Okay, well, let's maybe spend our last few minutes getting as concrete as we can about how to embrace a growth mindset. One of the key ideas is to practice believing that your own intelligence and abilities can be developed so that you are noticing in yourself where you're learning and no longer categorizing yourself as smart or not smart, good or not good, talented or not talented, but always reinforcing within your own head your ability to learn. And this has been actually really significant to us as we have parented our children. Instead of saying, oh, you're so smart, we're practicing reinforcing, I can see that you worked really hard on that. I can see that you took a lot of time and spent a lot of time paying attention to the details of that art project that you did or that paper that you wrote. And when we are reinforcing that for our kids, we are continuing to teach them that they have the ability to grow and that their own experience is not fixed in one way or another.
Yeah. And in the book, there she talks about a number of studies that were done with, there were four-year-olds, there were teenagers, there were MBA students. And they basically did this. They broke them into two groups. They would give them a task. And the MBA students, as an example, were told that this task evaluates how good you are at this thing. So a very fixed mindset, right? It's going to tell you whether you are smart or not, in essence, or whether you're good at this task. And then they told the second group, the growth mindset group, that this task is designed to make you better at doing this task. And far and away, the results were just unequivocal, you know, that the folks who had been set up to have growth mindsets, even just with this individual task, performed better, they learned it better, they got better at it quicker. And like I said, there are a number of studies done across multiple age groups that she references, but over and over and over, if people were told, oh, you're so smart, or they were set up to have a fixed mindset, they didn't do as well, and they didn't progress as quickly as people who were set up to have a growth mindset.
So starting out your day, being willing to say, what am I going to learn today? What am I going to grow at today? To help that to be the framework for your work and what you are organizing your life to be about, I think is a useful starting point in practicing that growth mindset within yourself. And the bottom line is you can't be an affirmation junkie. You can't go looking for praise that says, oh, you're so good at this. How do you do this? You're amazing. It's like a nice little fix for a while. But ultimately, that kind of affirmation, it works against us. Getting kind of addicted to that kind of feedback is really counterproductive because it doesn't honor the real work that you're doing to try to be good at something.
I think the other thing you can do is to seek out challenges and look at them as an opportunity to improve your abilities. Bottom line is you have to believe that continued effort and challenges are what makes us better, right? It's seeking out opportunities to learn and expand yourself.
And to track progress rather than outcome, so that you're not looking at success in a yes or no category, but you're looking at small gains along the way. You're looking at new learning acquired. You are observing the process of founding your company rather than that one moment of launch day and the outcome as you might measure it in a yes or no success or failure kind of way.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that because, you know, you could launch and then if it flops and you don't get a bazillion customers your first day, if you had a fixed mindset, you would say, well, this isn't going to work, right? Either the app isn't good enough, I'm not good enough, whatever. But the founders who succeed, they take that as a starting point and then they say, okay, now how do I find the target market? How do I experiment with marketing approaches? Even though I know I'm going to fail at a bunch of them, if I find one or two that work, I'm going to be able to grow a company.
And it's the expectation that some of your things won't work. Right? Some of your marketing strategies are going to fail. They're
most
not going to yield any benefit.
That's right.
And that is not commentary on your status as a person, but that is all information from which to learn.
Thinking back to really before I had any measure of success, this is back in the early 2000s, that was one thing that just kept driving me. I don't know that I really had a big growth mindset, but I definitely just kept believing that I could do it, that if it was possible, you know, if other people out there were making it work, that I could just push through and eventually learn it and make this work. And so I think that's part of it. It's like it's a combination of perseverance, but also believing that you can actually improve this stuff, you know, and that you of all people are one that can make this work.
You know, those of us who are leaders, whether we're leaders in our family, raising children, or leaders of a team, running a company, we have a lot of power to begin to change this mindset in other people by giving feedback based on effort, as we've talked about a couple different times in the podcast today. But really intentionally looking at the people around us and thinking about them in terms of what they're learning, honoring the challenges they're taking, hanging with them in their frustrations, and helping them realize what they are learning in the process of the bumps along the road, of the failures, of the days that don't go well. And so we can do a great service to our, you know, to our community and to the people that work for us and with us when we begin to look at the effort that they're exerting rather than the outcome.
So Carol Dweck also did a TED Talk that we'll link up in the show notes that you can watch. In terms of the book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, we've talked about it this whole episode. I found the book interesting. I did find it got a little repetitive. It's about 8 hours on audio. And if you're going to read it, I would say pick some chapters, and certain ones are not going to apply to you. Personally, I skipped through a few of them, but I really like this message. And it resonated with me maybe, what, 2 or 3 years ago when we both read it. And I have used this in my business. I've used this during my retreats to look back and look forward and, you know, talk about what progress have I made rather than looking at outcomes, but actually looking at progress, and definitely used it with raising our kids.
If you're enjoying the podcast.
Yeah, it's like if you want us to continue the podcast, we need your feedback. Go into iTunes and all you have to do is click 5 stars.
They just have to click 5 stars.
click 5 stars. That's all. We're only accepting 5-star reviews this week.
Hey, so we really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast, and we would love to hear from you what you think of what we're doing. So a great way to do that is to leave a review on iTunes. You can log into iTunes and leave a star rating. You don't have to leave comments, but comments certainly are helpful to us, and we are paying attention, and we would love to hear feedback and suggestions for episodes that you think would be valuable to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.